Who's Afraid of Summer?
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show on 720 WGN.
Have no place to go, darling.
6:12 high Friday, December 14th. It's show number 1280. I just found out seconds ago that Andy Mazur's playing hurt. What's the matter with you?
Well, got the crud.
You know, the
upper respiratory thing. You've been sick all week, yeah, but it's gone downhill.
You're blaming it on, oh, I'm just overworked yesterday, but now it's
Are you going to make it?
Full on.
I'm going to do my absolute best.
So you're really having trouble breathing?
Yeah. Just a little.
I told him
really, the more I talk to you, the better.
He can go. I'll do the sports. Here, I'll do it. Ready? Bears are going to beat the Packers.
Okay.
Jabari Parker is
out of the rotation.
Exactly what we thought was going to happen.
And then what's your other story?
And then Bryce Harper is going to come to the White Sox, and then the Hawks play tonight. WGN Sports.
Fake news.
Sorry.
How come sports takes 2 minutes? Justin just did it in 12 seconds.
Because we like to air a little flair.
Okay. Yeah, there's a lot of flair.
A little panache.
All right, so if you want to call Andy and talk to him because he's having difficulty talking, well, don't do it. It's actually what I was
Please don't. Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry, you don't feel well.
I told him to leave, but he's not listening to me.
I'm very stubborn.
He's infected all of us now, so it really doesn't matter.
Yeah, I do subscribe to that theory, so.
I had a head cold this week. Nobody
you didn't
noticed.
Sound sick.
Yeah, but you're locked in your closet. Who could you hurt?
I got rid of it. I went running. I said, I'm sweating this thing out. I took my zinc. I'm like, it's going. It's not coming. That's it.
I've been fighting a cold off for 2 weeks. I bet I've had 12 and a half bags of coldies.
Oof.
And at some point, your stomach goes, stop it.
Yeah.
It also kills your taste buds for about 6 months. But it does work.
Yeah.
It does work. It's a little late for you.
Too late.
You're already down that road. All right. You've been listening to Andy's Cold Corner, and it's open for sponsorship. Let's do the top six.
From the Steve Cochran Auditorium in the lovely Sunrise Hotel, it's time to get your kicks.
Get your kicks.
With the top six at six. Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Greg Pearson writes in the Tribune, sensing an embarrassing re-election loss after Trump's 2016 election, a narrow primary victory in March. Governor Bruce Rauner spent months last spring and summer seeking out a candidate to replace him on the November 6th ballot. Mm. In other words, wasn't going to run again. Rauner, speaking to ABC7, acknowledged speaking to two men and two women about replacing him. In the race against Pritzker, but did not disclose by name who he contacted. Obviously, they said no, or it didn't, in fact, work out. But that's a very interesting piece of breaking news by our friend Rick Pearson.
The best part about that story is the byline on the Tribune website right now says, by Rick Pearson and Rick Pearson.
Oh, both.
Yeah.
Cool. Oh, that's excellent. They both had to write.
It's Chicago and Springfield.
Next, financial secrecy. 10 of 16 top Chicago mayoral candidates refused to release their full tax returns. Isn't that charming? Disclosing tax returns is a right of transparency for many candidates. It's not a rule, but it's been tradition. For the bulk of Chicago's top contenders for mayor, however, they're not telling.
Hey, you blame this straight on Trump.
No.
This idea that somehow it became okay for politicians to say no.
Well, they cover, but you're a grown-up running for mayor of Chicago, so do the right thing. Do we know the 10? I mean, we must know the 10, but do we know the 10 off the top of our heads?
The ones with money.
Yeah.
the ones that are hiding money offshore.
The ones that are using the easy, the 1040 easy, they're fine. They'll show you what they're doing.
One of them is Abby Hoffman. That's the only one I know.
Abby Hoffman's running for mayor?
Yeah, those are the 10.
Next. Carol Marine? No.
No.
Carol Marine reported that the FBI re-raided Alderman Ed Burke's office in City Hall yesterday.
I forgot something.
That's the amazing thing. And he goes, oh, Phil, I told you, the box in the corner. Now we got to go back.
So is that more rolls of brown paper that they need? like
yeah,
to put up on
the
window.
Again?
Yeah, like the whole setup. I would be so frustrated.
I'd love to be a fly on the wall.
I don't know that I've heard of a re-rate.
Yeah. Steve, did you get that box in the corner? Oh, it's not there. Oh, did we leave that on the desk? Yeah.
Phil!
I don't know that it would be a re-raid. I think it's just a second raid where they went back to get more stuff.
I'm just quoting Carol Marie. She said she called it a re-raid.
I gotta tell you,
Twitter.
I like the re-raid is a better comedy term.
Hashtag re-raid.
Re-raid is more funny. Of course, it's funny as hell to Ed. Ed must really be enjoying this. Hey, you know, if I'm Ed Burke, I stand there and go, did you get it all now? Because I don't need you coming back.
The idea the first time it was a bunch of papers in one computer.
So and a cell phone.
And a cell phone. And they're like, should we get the second computer? I don't know. Let's get the second. He's got a laptop. Let's get
Maybe
the laptop.
They had to go back to get his iPad.
Yeah.
This is not good for Ed Burke. No. So we'll see. What does Trump always say? We'll see how things work out. We'll see.
Believe you me.
Next. Democratic lawmakers in New Jersey are seeking to make Republicans a permanent minority party by doing what lawmakers in Michigan and Wisconsin and North Carolina have been trying to do. They're essentially writing gerrymandering into the state constitution. Democrats have significant majorities in both chambers of the state's legislature. See, this just isn't just a jackass Republican thing. This is a jackass politician thing to do and incredibly short-sighted. And just antithetical to anything of the Democratic process.
All the pushback to the Republican state lawmakers in Michigan and Wisconsin, nationwide, that New Jersey may want to be like, maybe not, maybe don't, we don't want
to
do that.
That's why people have to pay attention. That's why you have to pay attention. You got to get involved in the process because it's there's a coup going on with it. I sound like I'm Abby Hoffman. It's 1968. But the government, the state governments, are literally, one by one now, taking over the states and creating a turf war like a bad amateur mafia crime family. When the five families meet now, it'll only be two. It'll be the Democrats and the Republicans. And by the way, in New Jersey, try to get a table if you're a mob. They're all booked. Next, Packers fan lost his bid to wear gear with Packers gear, Packers logos on it. On the sideline of the Bears game on Sunday, he's as you guys explained it to me. Season ticket holders occasionally get to the sideline.
Mm-hmm.
He has sideline pass for this weekend's game, and he wanted to wear his Packers gear. Let's go live to Andy in the hospital on his last sports report on this. What happened?
He got denied now because the restraining order was overturned by a Chicago judge saying that he cannot wear his Packers stuff on the Bears sidelines.
Oh my gosh, what are we doing here?
I'm not so concerned about his civil rights as much as it would be entertaining to me because he's just being a jerk. To just let him wear whatever he wants and put him right near the Bears.
But that already happens. That already he sits in the front row, and I'm sure beers get thrown at him. I'm just worried about the press.
Put him right there on the field. Yeah. Right there.
Right in the line of tackling.
What's next? That you can't wear your sweatshirt to court? You can't wear my Packers jersey to
court? If you're going to court, I wouldn't recommend a sweatshirt.
Ticket court. I haven't been to ticket court in years.
And finally, this very important story. Kendall Jenner is the world's highest paid model. In 2018, she made, just guess. How much did Kendall Jenner make, John DeCos?
Oh, it's got to be over
$50,000. You know what it is? You're exactly right. $113 million. She made $109 million in 2017. That's a $222 million in 2 years.
And she would marry, she's probably the most understated of the Kardashian-Jenner clan on the show. She's not, like, Kylie's the one that will get in TMZ and everything. Kenner.
Well, having a baby out of wedlock gets you a little more attention.
Kendall's the classy dame?
She's the one just making money off of modeling.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just so ridiculous.
And she was a guy?
No, that's...
that's her father.
That's her dad.
Mother. Number two is Carly Kloss.
She made $13 million.
Chrissy Teigen and Rosie Huntington.
They made $11.5 million.
And Giselle and Cara Delevingne.
$10 million each on them
is their last.
Yeah. How do you say her name? Delevingne.
Yeah. Steve's speaking French right now, but
well, not really.
That is your top six at six.
All today for the top six at six.
No more!
Sponsored by American Weathermakers Heating and Cooling, the 60 Minute Men.
Did you hear, Steve, how dismissive Mary was of my terrific French accent?
I did. It's one of the best things I like about the show is your French accent, you and Dean doing that.
Shocking. 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 Lou's first call. You want to be it? 312-981-7200. What's wrong with your house? Lou can fix anything. God, is he a man? 312-981-7200. We'll get to him next.
It's Lou's first call with Lou Manfredini and Steve Cochran. Brought to you by American Weathermakers.
American Weathermakers. We won't be comfortable until you are.
It's the time of the show for Lou's first call.
Good morning, Lou Manfredini.
Good morning, Steve Cochran.
How are you, bud?
I am terrific.
Are you on with us next Friday?
Yes.
All right. Well, I'll withhold my Merry Christmas until
Lou
then.
Lou is working every Friday in 2018, like the end, through the end. He's also doing the 28th.
So this one and next week?
And with Pete McMurray.
Oh, and then the following week.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's also a big star in the It's a Wonderful Life play coming up.
I don't know that I'm a star, but I am big thankful part. And grateful. I think I'm being typecast once again.
Yeah.
But it's okay, because now I've been typecast with another role, because the first time we did It's a Wonderful Life, which was super fun, I was the role of Sam Wainwright, the hee-haw, the successful business owner.
Okay.
Now I have been cast as the imagined role because, you know, Bill Leff rewrote, you know, this is Bill Leff's interpretation of It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, he's going to get sued.
Right. Frank Capra is going to rise up from the grave Capra and come back and sue him. Right. But I am playing the role of Mr. Gower.
Yeah.
And I've noticed in his writing, he's very Lin-Manuel Miranda-esque, where he's taking roles and say, it could be a man, it could be a woman, it could be a Puerto Rican, it could be, you know, he's all over the place.
Could be a 400-pound guy on his bed in a basement in New Jersey.
I will say this, I have been, the guy you're playing, the kid you're playing opposite of, the young George, is my son Miles.
You're kidding.
So last night, we were practicing Manfredini.
Oh,
Manfredini.
Yeah.
Listen, you two got problems. I'm Clarence.
That's a great Clarence.
It's a great role, but I don't have a voice for it.
I'd like to apologize.
What do you think of this? Yeah, these are my underpants. Yeah, these are the underpants I died in. Yeah.
No, now you sound a little creepy.
I do? Oh, okay.
Clarence is a little creepy.
Yeah, he's a little creepy, and I want to apologize to your son because I noticed there's a bunch of sound effects at one point where
I'm slapping
the hell out of him.
There's blood in that scene.
There's blood.
You're slapping Clarence?
Merry Christmas.
He slaps young George.
Oh, I remember that.
In the pharmacy.
That's one of the
parts of the movie. You know, for me personally, you know, everybody talks about their favorite holiday movie. That is my movie.
Yeah.
And
you couldn't get that scene made today. You know what that scene would be today? It'd be you, Mr. Gower, drunk, sitting down with young George and telling him to use his inside voice and to talk about his feelings.
Right. Right.
You wouldn't have a name.
Right. And give me some water. I need to have some water.
Right. Exactly. Right.
So don't slap him too hard.
I won't. Of course not.
Okay. Miles is committed to the craft. So is he got some fake blood or something that's going to come out of the ear?
I know. We need some.
Oh, right. Right. He's a method actor.
Yeah.
He'll only speak to me in character when I run into him.
And by the way, like a diva actor, could not be less interested in this conversation right now. He's just not paying attention to any of it. Yeah.
He just brushed you off with his hand.
Yeah. He just said, stop talking to me. I'm playing a video game.
Where's the cocoa machine?
312-981-7200. Still have a chance to get in. We lost our caller for Lou. So let's just jump in, Lou. What are you mostly going to be talking about on tomorrow's program?
Tomorrow, we're going to be talking about, listen to this, there is a startup in San Francisco. You're familiar with 3D printing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about a story that I saw that this company, it's a construction company that built the first 3D printed home out of concrete in 24 hours.
24 hours?
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible?
Well, it's a 3D printer.
I understand the 3D printer.
You can't believe the amount of ink they had to use.
Does concrete dry that quickly?
Well, I mean, because this is just like if you've ever seen a 3D printer using
plastic or metal, it's hollow.
Layer upon layer upon layer.
Yeah.
This is layer upon layer of concrete, one after another. They set the thing up in the middle. The design of the house is a little unique because it's kind of almost looks like a one of those ninja stars that you know they would throw at you in a Bruce Lee movie.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So it has a kind of an interesting shape, but it was there to demonstrate that they could do it. And it printed overnight, and then they came in and put the windows in and put the roof on, and the whole thing costs less than $11,000.
Wow.
It's such an interesting idea, right?
In
particular, when we talk about affordable housing, if we could get this right.
Because the three bad walls blow it down pretty easy, though.
The company claiming, because it's a concrete home, I mean, this is something you could stick on the shores of what was the city that got wiped out in Florida?
Paradise,
Florida. I mean, literally.
No, Paradise is in California.
No, that was the other one.
It was,
oh,
was Mexico.
Mexico Beach.
Mexico Beach. Yeah, very good.
Right. So it was really, it's really interesting. I'm going to talk a little bit about that and how the construction industry is just changing. And we look at how we build stuff traditionally and all these frame houses here. I'm a former carpenter myself, so I'm all about the, you know, building out of wood. But at the same time, you look at a structure like this and you're like, boy, if we could figure this out and really kind of set one of these up, in particular the lack of affordable housing, this could be a real solution.
Very interesting. Now, we have Dennis on the phone who has an actual listener question for you. Dennis, what do you have?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning to you.
My daughter has a home in Lockport.
Okay.
And I'm looking to add insulation in their attic.
Do they know that, or is this like a Christmas surprise?
Oh, it's well known to them.
Ah, got it. Okay.
So their three bedrooms upstairs seem to always be cold in the winter and hot in the summer.
Okay.
I've had three companies come out in the past week. And two of them looked at the insulation in the attic and said, you've got about 7 inches of insulation up there. We're guessing about R19. They wanted to do R49.
Mm-hmm.
I had another company come out this week, and Lou, you've talked about this company. I'm not going to name them. And they looked and said, well, you've got enough insulation. Let's go look at your furnace area and your ducts in the basement. They said, you're wasting your money on insulation. You need to have your ducts all sealed, and that's going to cure your problem. And their estimate was double plus what the insulation.
So you don't know who to believe, Dennis. You don't know what's up.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
All right, so what does he do?
All right. I mean, both of those things have merit. The idea behind an older home and the fact that you can have ductwork that is leaking means that the furnace is running and you're not delivering the warm or cool air into those places. But you're not going to know that until you do a test, and sealing your ductwork is very expensive. The single best thing that anybody can do to improve the overall energy efficiency of their home in the summer or the winter is to add more insulation into the attic. If, in fact, you have R19 in the attic, around here we should have about R50 in total. And adding that with like a blown-in cellulose or a blown-in fiberglass, I really don't care, is going to add probably another 12 inches, maybe even 14 inches of insulation up to the attic. What's important when that gets done is that you have to maintain the ventilation. So if you're going to hire an attic insulation company, you have to talk to them about how much insulation they're going to put in there. It's real easy to look at a calculator to see how many inches equate to the right amount of R value. And you can keep the old stuff there. I'm not a proponent of taking out the old stuff. There's really no reason to do that. But just make sure they're going to maintain the ventilation, which may mean insulation baffles in each pocket between the rafters. And I would start there and see if it improves. You're not going to lose at all by adding attic insulation. And then if down the line you have to address the ductwork and whatever, that's a different conversation.
Seems very logical.
And it makes a lot of sense.
He gets an April Airfare Wi-Fi thermostat that allows him to adjust the temperature of his home's air on his smartphone and feel good about whatever insulation he has. It's from American Weather Makers, the 60-Minute Men. Call 855-955-HVAC. Thank you, Dennis, for that. Let's see. A texter says, how do I insulate my kitchen cabinets? They're on the outside walls. I'm getting airflow from the inside corners. They're angled. I can't reach to the way back.
You can try, depending on what the age of your home, you could drill a series of holes in the back of the cabinet and then carefully place an expanding foam in those holes. Like, drill the holes enough so you could get a rubber grommet to plug it, you know, plug it up when you're done,
mm-hmm.
and put a low expanding foam in there and kind of squirt it, fill it, cap it, squirt it, fill it, cap it. And that could improve there without having to take the cabinets down.
Next Friday, I would like you to have last-minute Christmas gifts from Ace Hardware.
Oh, okay.
Things that we could buy next weekend if we just need a last-minute thing, or maybe the main gift, your favorite Christmas hardware things.
Can I throw one out there right now,
sure,
for all of you? And,
sure.
And Mary Sandberg, write this down. Poodoos.
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 What are poodoos?
Poodoos are the most comfortable pair of sock slippers you're going to walk around in. They're primarily for women.
Okay.
They have a fleece on the outside and a synthetic shearling on the inside with little silicone dots on the bottom so you don't slip and fall. You'll never take these things off.
Poodoos.
$19.99.
Poodoo's.
Oh, I'm going there.
Poodoo's. Okay, Poodoo's. Thanks, buddy.
My husband is at Ace Hardware.
But I'll have more for you tomorrow.
Yes,
that you do.
Tell your husband to go today.
He'll be there, believe me, Lou.
God bless.
There every day with his $5 coupon.
Oh, isn't that cute?
Yeah.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
See you in a bit.
Okay. That's Louie's going to be on TV, and we're coming back in just a second with your headlines on 720 WGN.
It's business time.
All right, 6:46 now, and time now for a look behind the scenes at how businesses actually get run. Hopefully you learned something from this as well, Justin.
Yes, indeed. This segment sponsored by Signature Bank is where we talk to business leaders, CEOs, and managers about their experiences so we can better understand ours. We have a big-timer in the studio today. Gabrielle Martinez is the co-owner or owner and co-founder of Agency EA, which is a brand agency here in Chicago. I mean, you've been on so many different lists, whether it be Forbes or 40 Under 40 at Crain's.
Look at you.
A lot of great press on the work that you're doing, not just here, but just in your life. So, Gabrielle, thanks for being here. Appreciate it.
Thank you for having me, Justin.
So, all right, let's get right into it. Brand agencies, that can mean a lot of different things. And when you go through your website, there's a little bit of, like, head scratch, like, what you actually do. What is the...
The website's fabulous, by the
way. It's a great website.
I was rolling over every employee. I'm like, I don't even know what they're doing here.
You definitely
want to say, though, with what you do, if you had a sucky website, that would be a problem. So
it's true.
It's good.
So what is the bulk of the business that you do at Agency EA?
Sure. So we are an experiential marketing agency, as you mentioned. And so we work with major brands to bring their messages to life. So however they want to connect with their targeted audiences and across various platforms and disciplines and just targeting in on whatever type of message they need
example.
To cross.
What's an example?
So say, for instance... Hilton. So Hilton is a great client of ours, and so they have 14 different brands under their umbrella. And so you can imagine they each have their own distinct personality. And then when they do their internal conferences, or if they're launching a new product, then we kind of try to dig deep and understand what they're trying to convey and what is the spirit of that brand, and then bring it to life. And it could be in a festival form, or
sure.
it could be any type of
thematic.
Thematic, highly thematic, yes.
Yeah. The sky's the limit in that regard. When you start thinking about brand experiences and marketing, and you're talking about events or you're talking about one big campaign, it's much different than it was 20 years ago, where these were the rules and this is what you had to do. Now with the digital experience, you can do... you're really tasking your employees and the people at Agency EA to come up with... Shoot for the moon. You could come up with anything. Like you just said, you could create a festival.
Yes.
You could create a new logo. There's so many different things that you can do.
That's right. I mean, the sky is the limit. And again, we just have to dig deep and really understand what the true goal is of our clients, starting there. And then it's threefold. I think it's equal parts strategy, creative, and then obviously execution in whatever way we bring it to life. And so again, it can take the shape and form of come to life in many different ways. And so our team has a great time just kind of trying to see, what is kind of that, it's ever evolving also, this world, because as you've seen, more and more brands are kind of moving away from the traditional spends and kind of really want to create these personalized, very authentic experiences for any type of audience.
You said it's ever-changing, and people are coming to you with the next new idea, not the thing that everyone else has already been doing. So how do you where do you go to look for those ideas, your team, on what's coming up next?
I mean, they're coming to us for those ideas, and so we always need to stay fresh. So, I mean, I think it's kind of just, I think it's part and parcel of everyone that works on our team and just being eyes wide open and kind of making sure that we're injecting that fresh, type of creative. And that, comes from, I think, outside the industry. I think it comes from just having a very, all the different types of perspectives. And that's why we are very purposeful in kind of making sure the team that we put together has a range of different perspectives to be able to make those messages all the more richer.
Hang on one second. We'll come back right after this break. But also to speak to when we come back about people that can't figure out what their brand is. They know what they do, but they don't know how to market it. They don't know what the brand is.
That sounds great.
All right, in a moment.
It is the Download on Chicago Business, sponsored by Signature Bank. In studio right now, Agency EO, co-founder and owner, Gabrielle Martinez. And as we continue to talk about brands, the one thing about this industry is that it's creative. And a lot of it is based on culture. But at the same time, it's high stakes. You're talking about brands like Hilton and others who really want their brand almost handled with kid gloves. So how at the level do you promote creativity, promote a culture that's going to be forward thinking, but at the same time, you know, make sure that it's buttoned up and okay for all the big clients that you have.
Sure, absolutely. So the creativity that exists in our agency that's begins and ends with the people. And so that was something that we learned early on, and that was something that when my husband and I started the company, we knew was our best and most important differentiator. And so when I hire people to join us, it's, you know, I think first and foremost, I'm kind of looking to see, do they have, what's their passion, and are they able to, like, let it flow? You know, what makes them, what are they inspired by? What are they motivated by? And that seems to be the common denominator that's kind of brought us all together. And so with that, you can imagine it creates a really powerful synergy. And so because of that energy and because of that flow of ideas and constant creative pulsing through our office, I believe that we're able to kind of create that much better of richer and textured messages.
When you grow and the way that you've grown in the 20 years you've been doing this business, and just in the last 5 years as more and more people come in, how do you make sure that that culture remains?
So, you know, it started with some pretty simple core values that I actually live in my personal life that are the same that I operate on in our office. And I realized quickly that this was kind of like these core values that, you know, are based in integrity, purposeful design, collaboration, were kind of the values that our team could kind of, that would fortify them to be able to operate and execute in our industry. And they were also the things that were going to get us through challenging situations. And they were the kind of glue that were going to also hold us together. So once you realize that, about 3 or 4 years ago, we decided, you know, we need to make sure that our culture, now that we created, is now kind of brought forth and lived on with the actual team. And it's now in their hands to kind of shape and mold and take to the next level. So we had a longtime employee and colleague of ours that we then enacted the position of VP of culture. Okay. And his job is 24/7 to make sure that everything we're doing internally and externally, that culture is at first and foremost.
That's
because
what we
I
need.
Think that that's
VP
something
of culture.
Yeah. Yeah,
I thought that was Super Joe. Isn't Super Joe VP of culture?
That's why I'm wearing a Christmas suit.
So how do you know? How do you know what your brand is?
How does a client know what their brand is?
Well, a client, let's say they don't have you yet. You know, somebody comes to you to hire you, or somebody maybe doesn't have the budget and they're just trying to get things started. They know what they do. They know what they sell, but they don't know how to market. What's their brand?
So then, I mean, we make it our business to kind of understand where they've come from and then where they want to go with their brand and who specifically they're talking to. Because one particular company could have four different audiences they're trying to connect with. And so it's very kind of project and case specific at times. And so we just try to dig deep to understand their values and mission and their spirit and the tone that they need to convey this message with. And then from there, we're able to kind of craft some type of campaign or content.
Funnel it down.
Do you ever have any conflict with somebody where they think what they want their brand to be and what it should be on your end?
You know, at times, because I think sometimes people come in and there's again, it's like a fast-paced world. So you're looking to capture a million different types of messages and flavors. And so we just try to let them see the impact of a more focused approach. So,
last question. Any advice on how to work with your husband or wife?
So you know what? It's day by day. And I think it's just kind of keeping things balanced and finding your own space.
Offices on other side of the company?
Yeah, between about four floors separate us.
Well, listen, it obviously works. And congratulations on all
your
success.
Thank you very much.
Justin.
Gabrielle Martinez is the co-founder and owner of Agency EA, which is a marketing agency right here in Chicago, coming up on 20 years in business. Thank you so much for being our guest in the Download in Chicago Business, Gabrielle, and thanks for being here.
Thank you so much, Justin.
Coming up, Stories of Matter with Steve Grzanich from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Oh, boy.
This isn't good. Cell phone. Is that a Nokia?
I wonder if I'll just let it go to voicemail.
I always think of Love Actually when I hear that.
Hi, it's the president.
I do too, Mary.
All right, here we go. Let me go to the phone here. President Trump, is this you? Good morning.
Good morning. Hi, Cochran. Calling from 1998. Hey, just counting the hours here until this slow fake news week is over. It's very slow week. Hold on. V. POTUS just walked in. What is it, Mike?
Excuse me, sir, but if I didn't know any better, I'd say you could use a pick-me-up. Could I interest you in a fresh, smocking hot cup of cafefe?
You know what? Thanks, Mike. You know, is Pence the nicest, most polite vice president we've ever had, Cochran? He's got to be a cyborg, artificial intelligence or something.
I thought he had passed the other day when he was sitting next to you in that meeting, but we'll get to that. Mr. President, you ever get to step away from this drama? You ever get to do just the traditional holiday stuff with your family? Get away.
Of course we do. Of course we do. Look, matter of fact, we just finished sending out all our Christmas cards. We divided all our friends and loved ones into three categories: naughty, nice, and about to be indicted. We mailed them out yesterday. And tonight we're going to make Christmas cookies with the grandkids.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to make these yummy little gingerbread Crooked Hillarys. They're delicious. I just hope we have enough icing for the pantsuit.
All right, so the big news yesterday was Michael Cohen, your former lawyer, your guy, gets 3 years in prison. What's your reaction?
You know, he should have got 2 more years just for the bad suit he wore to court. Probably took it right off the mannequin of the men's warehouse.
Uh-huh.
Look, Michael Cohen is a horrible person. Horrible. Frankly, I feel very deceived. I mean, when I hired him, he had a 4.5-star review on Yelp. 4.5-star. What a joke.
I didn't know they did that. Well, Cohen wasn't just any lawyer, though. He was your guy. He was your fixer.
Look, Cohen did very low-level work for me. When they say he was my fixer, he was just the guy who fixed things around the office at Trump Tower. You know, like the copier. We sent him out to the store when the toner was low. That kind of thing.
Listen, we come to find out, August 2015, Cohen has a meeting set up with you and David Pecker. How about that name? From the National Enquirer about the hush money payments to Karen McDougal. He was in the room. You were in the room.
You know, so the very dishonest and low-rated National Enquirer said they paid her off. Cochran, that's fake news coming from fake news. It's fake news squared. The worst kind of news. It really is.
Look, not getting anywhere with this, so let's talk about that Tuesday meeting. Schumer and Nancy Pelosi. Things got a little dicey during the photo op, don't you think?
I will tell you, Schumer's hair plugs were sweating tremendously, but I was trying to talk with him in incoming speaker Botox. It was pointless. Pointless. I mean, I had a more productive discussion with Mike Pence during that meeting.
I didn't speak a word, my liege.
Exactly my point, Mike. Forget Elf on the Shelf, Cochran. I got Pence in a chair.
It's going to be a hot toy. Are you really going to shut down the government, take full ownership of it if you don't get the wall?
You know, I don't think it's going to come to that. We're going to finish that wall, and we will do it with or without the Democrats' help, believe me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to call up Mexican President Feliz Navidad, and we're going to work something out very quickly.
That's not his name. quick change of topics here. Have you been able to find a good replacement for Chief of Staff John Kelly yet? We heard you've been considering possibly your son-in-law Jared for the gig. That seems
Jared's
like a terrible
such a
idea.
Sweet boy. Such a sweet boy, Jared, but I haven't decided yet. It's more difficult than it has to be, though, you know, since John Kelly's original replacement said no because he wanted to spend more time with his family. And then we asked Chris Christie, and he said no because he wanted to spend more time with his double-stuffed Oreos. I mean, you can't win. You can't win.
So finally, about the First Lady. Melania had an interview the other day, and Sean Hannity's in the middle of this, and, you know, it's all about whether or not she gives you advice. Do you listen to her advice, or what advice does she actually give you?
Well, yeah, I listen to it, but I can't understand it half the time with that annoying accent of hers. Then it just becomes babble, and I just zone out, you know, like Pence sitting in a chair.
Mm-hmm. I heard that, sir.
But Melania gives me advice on everything from what color tie to wear to how much bronzer to use in the spray tanner, and I usually use a lot, believe me.
Appreciate your time, Mr. President. You can call
despite
anytime.
Despite what you're hearing, things are going great, guys. Nearly half of Americans approve of the job I'm doing and half disapprove, and that's just in my marriage.
Congratulations.
All the other stuff, too early to tell.
Congratulations on whatever.
Later, loser.
All right. Really caught up in the spirit of the holidays.
Later, loser.
Later, loser.
I hope they post a picture of those cookies, the Hillary Trump cookies from the grandkids.
Those are the Crooked Hillary gingerbread
cookies.
Yeah.
And that's the happiest I think I've heard Mike Pence in all of those calls. He seemed really happy, didn't he?
Animated, practically.
Maybe he's getting vacation.
You think he's going on holiday break?
Yeah.
Exactly. He's telling Trump he's not going to be in for a couple weeks. All right, stand by. The MVPP coming up. Dan Hampton on the Packers of the Bears and Jeremy Colleton later. Plus, we're going to play a match game. And John DeCosta here. John, we play match game. Are we going to give away tickets to the New Year's Eve show?
I think we should.
Okay.
I think that's a good
Where
idea.
Is it?
That's at Downers Grove, the Tivoli Theater in Downers Grove on New Year's Eve.
It's going to be a lot of fun. Going to be very funny. Going to start at 7 o'clock. You're going to be out by 10. And where do I get tickets?
You can go to eventbrite.com.
How do I spell bright?
B-R-I-T-E.
Eventbrite.com. And thanks. You can try to win those if you want before 8 o'clock or just seconds after.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
MVPP, he tried to say. Coming up in just a moment. I think I mentioned this. Jeremy Colleton of the One in a Row Blackhawks coming up because this is the start of good things. That 6-3 win over Pittsburgh the other night. Big deal. Now I'm doing Trump. Big deal. Big deal!
A lot.
Jeremy Carlton will be on to talk about it because, you know, it's his second win, but it's most significant in this young run that he's on. And then later, the Victor J. Andrew High School Choir will be in. And so will Mike Quigley, Congressman Mike Quigley, who is going to be part of the Democratic majority in the House. Also in the 9 o'clock hour, Orrin Samuelson, who we have not seen in a long time, is going to be in the building. So looking forward to seeing
and then,
him.
And then the cavalcade of WGN radio stars are going to start flooding in for the big show at 10 o'clock.
I'm still working on the voice for Clarence the Angel. What do you think if I do it like a gangster? See? See? This is the underwear I died in. See?
You know, we're within 2.5 hours of broadcast. You have figured it out.
That's way too mean.
I have, and I'm not even kidding you here, 4 words. My script is 4 words.
Have you decided on how you're going to play it?
You know, I'm thinking about making a scene. I think I might take it a little longer or do ad-lib a little bit.
What are they going to do? It's live.
Use those improv skills, right?
I'm thinking about it.
The most valuable person on the planet is people. The most valuable persons on the planet for Friday, December 14th. 12-year-old. And I'm going to mess this name up, but I'm going to try here. Caleb?
You nailed it.
Clock-a-lock? Clock-a-lack? Oh, cool. Caleb, I'm sorry. And his mom, Christy Hall. Let me go first here to Caleb. Caleb, please pronounce your last name for me.
Clock-a-lock.
Hey! That wasn't terrible.
That was good.
And hi to you, too, Christy.
Hello.
Nice to talk to you. This story is based on an incredibly sad event. 12-year-old Caleb... lost someone very important in his life. Was this guy your best buddy?
Yeah.
And you guys live near Detroit, I understand, right?
Yes.
And you decided to take up a cause. You're working odd jobs to raise money so he could have a gravestone, you know, and appropriate markings on his grave. I mean, that's a very nice thing to do and a very mature thing to do. So, Christy, jump in here. What was your role in this?
Well, obviously, he's 12, so, you know, I would have to take him to where he needed to go to collect bottles or do his odd jobs. And obviously, as soon as he asked, I had no problem doing it. It was, you know.
I don't know how you just didn't go in the other room and lose it. I just would have been a mess because I'd be so proud of you. And I know your mom's proud of you, Caleb. But it's an amazing thing to do and a great tribute to your friend.
Thank you.
Hey, Caleb. You were friends with, I know, Kenneth, but you called him KJ, since second grade, and a lot of that time he was sick. Tell us about what you would do with your friend, because he probably couldn't do all the typical stuff, like go outside and play.
What was the fun stuff you did?
Play video games.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Was he good at a particular game?
Basketball.
Basketball. Did you play NBA 2K?
2K, or, yeah.
Is that the game you played, Caleb, NBA 2K?
We played other games, too, but that one.
And what was your game? The one you ruled?
None of them.
None of them.
Well, Caleb, I'm really sorry about this, but you sound like a heck of a best friend. And, you know, as you get older in life, the meaning of this will change, but you'll never lose sight of the fact that you'd be proud of yourself for a great thing you did. And, Christy, I know you feel the same way.
I do. I'm very proud of him.
And so you already raised enough money for this. And so what are you doing with the extra money that people keep donating?
The extra money will go to the Singleton family for any medical expenses or, you know, anything that had accrued during KJ's illness.
That's awesome.
She wasn't able to work. She had to live with him full time at the hospital.
Sure. Uh-huh. Completely understandable. And you call her Ms. San. Is that right, KJ's mom?
Yes, we call her San.
San, sorry. And Caleb, again, just so people understand this, was just sad that she couldn't afford the grave marker and wanted to do this. It's an incredible thing for anybody to do, but certainly for a 12-year-old.
Beyond his years to even consider that this is something that he could help out with.
You're a fine young man, Caleb, and we're honored to have you on the show. And I hope you guys have a wonderful Christmas.
Thank you.
All right. Merry Christmas. Hold the line, if you would.
Wow.
A man of few words. It's all about action. That kid getting it done.
Yeah,
and also amazing. The community there to step up.
I'd like to know who says no when a 12-year-old is trying to raise money for his best friend's headstone.
You know, I think there's a lot of
you get inundated with the, you know, with the idea of donations, especially online, where people will send emails and there's spam and all that kind of stuff. And but yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, I think when you hear stories like this, it's, you know, community steps up and it reminds you. I know it's cheesy, but it reminds you of It's a Wonderful Life and the power of community.
It's,
you know,
so
it's
cool.
You know, it's not to make light of this, but we hit that. Every time you go to Jewel or a grocery store, do you want to donate a dollar, whatever? So we're getting used to that now. It's okay. But yesterday, I went to get new glasses. And as I put it in, she goes, oh, and there, the first screen that comes up is a donation to such and such. Holy cow, this is...
Yeah, I think there is...
You're ruining it for other people.
Absolutely, there's fatigue on it. But when it's personal. And it's just
This is why this is great.
The corporate donation stuff, I mean, a lot of companies are tied into it. When you check out a Dick's Sporting Goods, there's things you could do. If you don't want to do it, just say no. That's all.
Right. Yeah, but it's good that you have the opportunity because my best friend passed away when I was in fourth grade. And she was in fifth grade. She died of leukemia. I would have never thought of doing... Right. Something like this back then.
And by the way,
KJ died of. He died of leukemia.
And by the way, you're a really nice person. I didn't know you had 12, but...
Well, I didn't know any better. I mean,
Well, that's the thing about this kid. He was so moved by his buddy's mom and all that she was sacrificing and the sadness that she was going through. So...
His act will be there forever.
Yeah.
So that's talk about lasting impact. And then
you can take his own kids to see him someday. Say, this guy's my best friend.
Yeah. The fact that there's extra money and she's going to get some relief there too is just really special. He's making quite a difference.
Is the PayPal account still open? Do we know?
Yes. Yes.
All right. Will you give us a link?
I'll link it on our social because the it's difficult to spell. So it's going to be on the Steve Cochran Show Facebook page and Twitter.
All right. Cochran Show and Steve Cochran on Twitter and Steve Cochran Show on Facebook. 728. And your headlines coming up.
An animal!
Dan Hampton anchors a young Bears defense.
An animal!
It's time for Dan Hampton.
Sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago.com. Man, we had another good Thursday night game last night. Crazy ending. Patrick Mahomes, greatest quarterback in the history of football.
I was thinking about you when I saw that.
28-14. And the Chargers come back, score two touchdowns, one late, go for two to win it, and get it done. And the worst busted coverage I've seen in a long time. Anyway, that was last night. They've had a run, Hamp, of really good Thursday night games.
They really have. And you know what? More than anything else, the one thing when you watch Patrick Mahomes is, you get a little buyer's remorse, thinking, well, there could be, our quarterback. But you kind of get an idea of what... potentially is capable, you know, with our young quarterback, and we've got a long ways to go if we could get something like that going.
Imagine if we had a Bears Chiefs Super Bowl. The Chiefs are really, really good, and somebody really, really good is going to have to stop them in the playoffs. Yeah, the Bears are not the pick in the NFC, but you get there, anything's possible. A Bears Chiefs Super Bowl. I like the way that sounds.
It definitely would be old school. There'd be that quarterback comparison. But first and foremost, we've still got work to do. And, it's funny. I know it was a very exciting game. We've watched, the Chiefs light it up. And we're going to need a little bit of that this weekend. You know, I didn't realize it, but the Packers have won 21 of their last 25 trips to Soldier Field. The last eight. In particular, have been won by Aaron Rodgers. So as good as, certain aspects of this team have turned out this year, we still have a lot of answers we need to provide. And one of them is, can we truly, put a stake in the Wicked Witch's heart and find a way to beat Aaron Rodgers this weekend?
Is Andy Major still in the chair, or has he collapsed? Andy Major's in for David. There he is. All right, Andy, I'm going to give you a chance to ask a question if you have enough oxygen in your lungs to do it. Andy's very ill, very ill. Do you have a question about the Bears-Packers?
Yeah. Were you encouraged by what you saw from Jordan Howard in that game against the Rams? And do you think they're going to use him a little more this time?
Yes. And the guy that needs to really be closely observing this is the play caller, and that's the head coach, Matt Nagy. And we haven't seen that all year, and there's almost been a propensity to try to get funny and cute and, you know, have people go, oh, wow, look, you know, a state suite. Jordan Howard is really very efficient, very valuable. And, again, you know, I don't want to, you know, be gloom and doom, but when your quarterback is, you know, having the issues that Mitchell Trubisky has had here recently, hey, the more you run the ball, the better and more easier his job gets. And we've got to make it easier than you know, a lot of quarterbacks right now, because you can strip it away. And I was listening to some of the Packers talk about it, and they're concerned with the offense. They are aware of the fact that, you know, Matt Nagy has brought a new modern type offense, but they still recognize the fact that the guy that pulls the trigger is a one-read chuck and ducker. You know, I mean, if he don't see it that first read, he's going to pull it down and then start getting happy feet and trying to run. And that may work in the first quarter or maybe the second, but there's ways to counter that. And they, you know, again, they're going to try to get up, jam our receivers, much like we saw a couple of weeks ago up in New York, and make the quarterback struggle with his decisions. And when that happens, they think they can stop the offense.
But, Dan, all that being said, the Bears have had trouble running the ball this year, and whether it be Tariq Cohen or Jordan Howard or anyway, it seems that Matt Nagy's approach is to bring a lot of that razzle-dazzle, some of those short passes, to open up the run. It used to be run the ball so you can open up the pass, but it seems like this offense is geared to throw these little short passes to open up the run. Are defenses recognizing that if you stop the run and you load up the box, that makes Mitch Trubisky try to beat you?
Absolutely. And that's what they're going to do. They're going to get walk-ups, jam receivers. They're going to try to load the box. They're painfully aware that Jordan Howard, over the years, has been effective, especially, you know, against them on many occasions. And so they're not going to discount the fact that, obviously, that would be, you know, our first option, especially when you have a quarterback that struggled like ours did last Sunday night, 3 interceptions, lowest rating of his career. All those things, they're going to say, okay, we're going to make that guy have to beat us. And if they do, it's going to be a close game, because we have not seen Trubisky be able to put the team on his shoulders and make enough good decisions and good accurate throws, and be able to score enough points to find a way to win. So, again, you know, there's a lot of dynamics. You know, it was a huge win on Sunday night. We outplayed the Rams. Everybody says maybe it's the hottest, the sexiest team in football at every position. And, you know, yeah, their quarterback struggled, but you know, the one place we need our team to get better, not so much at defense, not so much the offensive line. The offensive line had, we've got to get better at quarterback. Now, we're going to have to deal with how much will the Packers force us to put Trubisky in the box and make him have to make those good throws, good decisions. And if that happens, like I said, hey, it's anybody's ballgame.
The Packers have a new coach. I haven't talked to you since McCarthy got popped. What were your thoughts on that?
Well, you know, I personally always thought he was a really – he'll be a head coach again.
Sure.
Obviously, Aaron Rodgers is the head coach up there now. And that's the way he wants it. And I don't know if you guys realize it, but, you know, the subplot to this game is, if the Packers do come in, now think about this. Mm-hmm. You know, the Bears are a 6-point favorite, and they have been very good this year as a home favorite. But that spread should be more. Think about this. You know, the Bears beat, you know, super team Sunday night. The Packers fire their coach. They are in disarray. 3 of their starting 5 offensive linemen will not play. That should be a 10-point spread. Why is it only 6? They want you to play the Bears because they think the Packers have something up their sleeve. Here's what the Packers are saying to themselves. Yeah, you know what? It's a tough job to go into Soldierville and beat the Bears, especially with their defense playing this well. But the last 2 games, we go to the Jets, and then we're home against deadbeat Detroit. They think if they beat the Bears, they can win out they can get into the playoffs at 8-7-1. That is what Aaron Rodgers is telling everybody in that locker room. So this is not going to be a walk in the park by any stretch of the imagination.
No, I don't think it is, but I also think the money's moving the way it is because of the questions about Trubisky, and you know the betting public doesn't have confidence that Trubisky is going to get it grooved anytime soon. Now, a Bears-Packers game in December normally includes a nice dose of hypothermia, frigid, frozen fans. It's going to be 45 and partly sunny on the lake on Sunday. It's almost wrong.
And again, that plays into the Packers' favor. You know, we want it to be 12 degrees where nobody can feel their fingers and catch a ball. And so the quarterbacks are minimized. So in the abstract, this is something that swings into Green Bay's favor. But I'll tell you this. I was looking this up the other day because, you know, last Sunday night, everybody was making a big deal out of the Rams and them being so disinterested and looking like they wanted to be, you know, somewhere by a campfire the entire game. All I know is that I looked up the 10 coldest games in Bear history. I played in 4 out of the top 5.
Wow.
So 45 on Sunday, I'm happy for the fans. That's great.
And by the way, let's be honest. The Rams look like they wanted to be at the rooftop bar at Le Mondrian on Sunset. That's where they wanted to be. They didn't want to be anywhere near Chicago. All right, so let's get the predictions in here, starting with, let's switch it up. Sandberg, what are you predicting for Sunday?
I think I'm going to go with a 14-14 tie.
That sounds vaguely familiar. Andy Mazur, live from sports and his deathbed. Andy.
I'm going 31-17 Bears.
Yeah, that's a pretty solid pick. Pretty solid. Super Joe, wearing a delightful Christmas suit today. You should see him happy. He'd be very proud and a little disturbed. Super Joe.
Yeah, wearing my green today because I will not be wearing green over the weekend. Bears 27, Packers 10, Bears in the playoffs, Packers out.
Wow, I like that. I like that authority. Justin?
I say it'll be Bears 17, Packers 3.
I think it's going to be an ugly game. 10-9 Bears. I think they're going to play like the weather's bad, even though it's 45 and sunny. 10-9 Bears. Hamp?
All right, 15-14 Bears win. Not the division, that. But it's not going to be pretty.
That you is not got, far off from my score.
Yeah, but you just got prices righted.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. He beat you by a dollar. That's exactly right. Nice job, Bob Barker.
Five Cody Parkey field goals. Let's hold her.
Five Cody Parkey field goals, and once again, Ham's head explodes in the conference room of 720 WGN. You boys have fun. What time are you on Sunday?
All right, post game, normal time, 3 to 6. Can't wait. OB, Kaz, and I will be there, and we will give you the entire inside scoop. Go Bears!
All right, thanks, man. That's Dan Hampton. That's the little hamster. A Hall of Famer. Let's come back and play the match game. We got some tickets for New Year's Eve to give away. If you'd like to go see the best entertainment on New Year's Eve, that'd be the Steve Cochran New Year's Eve show for people that can't stay awake until midnight. 7 o'clock at the Tivoli in Downers Grove. We need two contestants. Not one, but two. Two contestants to call now and tell us. Well, they're going to try to match the celebrities' answers in the match game. This is always a train wreck. And there's no reason, John, to believe it won't be again.
Oh, I know. The gates are down.
Am I right about this? The most matches we've ever had on Match Game, I believe, is two.
Yes.
I think that's right.
Oftentimes, the staff will all match, just not with the listener, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me and Dave.
Mary and Dave always match, but that doesn't help the listener at all.
Andy, none of the questions will be about DayQuil or NyQuil, but we still want you to play.
No, he's going.
Oh, is he leaving?
They're yelling at me to go home.
Yes.
Oh, okay, good, good. Well, you should go home and go to bed, man.
Yes.
All right. Okay. Have a good
sports
weekend.
Justin's doing sports. I just promoted him.
The ambulance has arrived with the stretcher there outside the door.
Oh, good. Well, don't come by my studio.
By the way, Justin, just like Dave Ennett, 1 minute sportscast.
I'm so excited to do this. It's going to be 2.5 minutes.
Okay, well, let's see.
I'm looking at Premier League soccer scores.
This guy's
now.
Been dying to do fantasy baseball talk.
I'm doing
all
fantasy
week,
baseball
so
talk.
It's going
to
be.
You know how they turn off the speakers at Wrigley when it gets too late for a concert to be on?
Uh-huh.
Right. Yeah, you're running that risk.
I'm doing a full
2.5 minutes on the Chicago Wolves. It's just a straight up.
It's great. The last 90 seconds will sound great on the stream at WGNRadio.com. And that's where you should spend some of your time anyway. Let's come back with more of this in a moment. 312-981-7200. Match game contestants lining up. All right, time now for the match game. John DeCosta's a giant microphone that was willed to him by Gene Rayburn, a Chicago native. Do you know that about Gene Rayburn?
Actually, I did. Now that
yeah,
I didn't
from
know.
Here. All right, so the match game, you have to match the celebrities on the show with an answer to a question that John will ask. We're going to start with Larry. We have Larry and Chris. Larry is in Vernon Hills. Good morning, Larry.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're fine. Nice to talk to you. And this is big prizes now. There's a pair of tickets for New Year's Eve, so a lot riding on this. And, of course, the record for match game of 2 celebrity matches out of 6.
That's pretty low.
I know. It's not great.
I know.
It's not great. All right, what's your question, John?
Here we go, Larry. Steve was so late to his own New Year's Eve show at the Tivoli in Downers Grove, where people bought tickets at Eventbrite.com.
Well done by you.
That they celebrated blank. Larry, don't give me your answer until I ask for it. Celebrities, I'll repeat it again. Steve was so late to his own New Year's Eve show at the Tivoli in Downers Grove, where people bought tickets on Eventbrite.com, that they celebrated blank. We'll wait till all of our celebrities
I'm
are
good. I'm locked.
In. We have one.
I'm locked in.
We have
locked.
Steve upstairs.
Locked.
Steve.
Locked.
Mary, yes?
Yes.
Yeah. Here we go. Larry, give me your answer.
Sorry, Steve, but they celebrated that he didn't show up.
Wow!
Oh, give that man a pizza.
Holy cow.
Wow, that's rough.
I don't think we should give him tickets at all.
Rough.
I didn't know that that was an option, or I would have gone with that one.
Yeah. Well, everything's an option. There's no
I know, but I didn't even know we could go there. Well, we want to keep our jobs.
That was good. Here we go around the room. Here we go. Mary, yes. Mary Sandberg, yes.
Snoring.
They celebrated snoring?
Oh, because they fell asleep waiting for me?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Mary Vandervelde.
That's not a match, by the way.
I went with, like, the next holiday, Groundhog Day.
That's good. That's okay. Good. That's okay. Very good. Justin? Well,
I had celebrated like it was 1999.
Okay. Good.
Okay. Very good.
Okay. Well, it's not Justin's fault. He's focused on sports.
Yeah. No,
that's good. It's a Prince reference.
I apologize.
Steve, Prince.
Yeah.
Prince,
sorry.
Steve.
It's the same thing.
Is that why you did this? You don't want to do it? Is
yeah.
That what I apologize.
That's a little late.
I did not get that. Okay.
No, he's got to do both now.
Joe in the booth.
A sports thing.
Abigail's high school graduation.
That's strong.
Oh, wow.
That's strong.
Wow. Yeah, that's that is very strong.
Oh,
Steve Brzanich.
I said Valentine's Day.
As
okay,
did I.
There we go. Okay,
Valentine's Day.
Groundhog
Day
is before Valentine's Day.
Well, you know what, Larry? None of those are matches, but your answer was clearly the favorite of Sandberg, the producer.
I am. He's getting... Can he get tickets to your show?
Well, maybe. Hold on. Let's go to Chris and Carrie. Don't hang up there, Larry. Chris and Carrie, you ready for your question, Chris?
Go for it.
There we go, Chris. People can buy tickets to the Cochrane New Year's Eve on Eventbrite.com, but Dave Ennett thought the website was Blankbrite. I'll repeat that again.
Mm-hmm.
People can buy tickets to the Cochrane New Year's Eve show on Eventbrite.com, but Dave Ennett thought the website was Blankbrite. Chris, hang on to your answer until I ask for it. Let's see if all the celebrities are in.
Locked!
I'm not using Justin this time. I'm just letting you know that now.
Oh, he's busy?
Yes. Well, no, he has to play.
Trying to be Andy Mason.
Because he has to be... Listen, if you can't get a sports
I will
together,
answer for him.
You're answering the question.
I'm just trying to figure out, is it Justin Kaufman, WGN Radio Sport? I'm trying to figure that part out.
Your sign off. You're starting at the end first.
You still have time.
Are all the celebrities in? Yes?
Yes. Yep. Everybody locked?
Chris, give me your answer.
I'm going to go with, he thought it was the old game, Light Bright.
Very good, Chris.
Right, that's
very
good.
I
great
almost
answer.
Went Light Bright.
Very
great
good.
Answer.
Right. Let's start with Mary Sandberg.
I went with Cat Bright. Go Cats.
What? Oh, yeah. Well, he is always thinking about Northwestern.
That's
true.
Yeah. You're being heckled by me.
I know. I'm sorry. Steve Grzanich.
Listen, I did the same thing. Light Bright is what I said.
Yes! Oh, my God. We're close to, you know,
Light Bright.
Joe Romano in the booth.
I said Cat Bright, too.
Wow.
Oh, go Cats.
Okay, two of those. Justin, I apologize.
I had Light Bright as well.
Light Bright.
Yeah.
Very good. Two.
Yeah.
This is Mary Vandeveld upstairs.
Did Justin Kaufman and WGN Sports have
what was GN Radio?
What was Chris's answer?
Light Bright.
He said Light Bright?
Yeah. He said Light Bright.
So we already have three?
We already have two.
Oh,
Mary Vandeveld.
We have three now. Light Bright.
There we go. We just broke our record.
Wow.
I thought Dave would be meaner, so I had notbright.com.
Come on. That was so easy.
Not Bright.
Hey, that was really good.
So we've got two winners here. Ever. Two great answers.
Chris, you're a winner because you set a record. And Larry, you're a winner because you were really mean. Hold on. Hold on to both of you. We'll give two pair of tickets away.
Yes. Okay. That's fine.
Congratulations. And get yours at eventbrite.com. B-R-I-T-E. We'll see you New Year's Eve.
Yes.
Let's see. Northwestern Medicine News is where Steve is coming up on 720 WGN.
Ladies and gentlemen,
Dean Richards joins us from Channel 9.
Citizens of the world,
some of the world's greatest entertainers are here tonight.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I present to you?
And tonight, guess what? It's going to be Dean.
Yeah, honey, you know I love you more than what I should. Yeah.
Live Channel 9. Good morning, Dean.
Morning.
How are you?
Great. We're having a great morning. We've got our annual drive-through toy drive here at 2501 West Bradley Place. And since 5 o'clock this morning, cars are lined up to drop off toys that we're giving to...
Very generous, generous audience.
We have amazing audience. And this year, we're giving all the toys to the Chicago Park District to donate to needy kids all over the Chicago area, north, south, east, west, everywhere, and people are just going great. I just talked with our friend Steve Shapiro from APT. They're providing the trucks to transport
all of
the toys.
Is Steve there with you?
He's not here right next to me right now, but I told him I have to run in and do Cochrane show because I was outside. He said, make sure that you say hello to Steve.
And hi back. And give Steve a hug. And when you do...
I'm going to give him a kiss from you.
Well, a hug and a little reach around and just a little pinch. He likes that. Just a little pinch.
Okay. Good. Right.
Well, thanks to you guys for doing that every single year. It's a big deal.
We love it.
Hey, Dean, before you announce your first story there, I just said it in the studio off the air, and I think that people think it's a different person. Is there more than one of these women?
What do you mean?
Like, is there two of this person?
Yes.
There is?
Well, it's not the one you guys were talking about.
Okay, so there's when I announced that this person passed away, and they...
Oh.
John and Justin were like, oh, no. But
there are two celebrities with that name.
Okay. Right.
And if everyone's not completely confused, I sent a note that Nancy Wilson had passed
away. Not the one from Heart.
Not the one from Heart.
That's the first thing
I said. That's what Justin said, from Heart.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought it was the jazz singer.
This is the legendary jazz singer. Who passed away only 81 years old, which, you know, I think is relatively young. But what a legend. Loved Chicago. Loved being here in Chicago back in my smooth jazz days.
NUA.
Smooth jazz days. I interviewed her many times, but when I first went to WNUA, I would fill in for the legendary Yvonne Daniels, who was doing the morning show there then. And she developed breast cancer, which finally took her life. But I filled in for her quite a bit. And frequently, the phone, it's the private phone line in the studio, would ring. And it was Nancy Wilson calling to say hello to Yvonne. And I would say, well, Yvonne's not here today. She said, how are you doing? Fine. She was a sweetheart, a real doll. And amazingly talented, beautiful, one-of-a-kind voice.
Had she been ill?
I don't know. I have not heard a word about her in a very long time, so I don't really know that.
How's Nancy Wilson from Heart doing? Any news there?
She's fine.
Her Wikipedia says she's doing okay.
Yeah,
okay.
As far as I know, she's doing fine, and I just talked to her a moment ago. She told me to say hello and give you a kiss.
Okay. As musical director of the show, Nancy Wilson... a phenomenal singer, had no vibrato. It was so smooth.
Could you get it? Like, pick her up some?
Yeah, you can get it. There's a couple stores. Marshall Field's run out of business. That's
explain what vibrato is.
I have no idea.
Well, then how do you know she didn't have it?
She didn't have it.
It's the greatest musical exchange we've ever had.
She had this song, John, you probably know this song, Guess Who I Saw Today, which is sort of spoken.
Yes. Oh, God, yes.
It's sort of a spoken jazz song. It's the most mesmerizing song you'll ever hear. And I remember, over at the smooth jazz place, they played like the same 10 songs over and over again.
So a smooth jazz hits?
You got
it was hot hits, smooth
jazz?
You
got a Yanni. Mm-hmm. And when you play those 10, you started over again and played the same 10 over. But when I was there, I was so bored playing that music that I would occasionally throw in a real jazz song. And I would always get in so much trouble when I would play Nancy Wilson's Guess Who I Saw Today.
Well, why?
Because that wasn't one of the 10 songs we were supposed to play. It was too interesting.
Boy, I know those days. All right, so we'll come back. You're going to talk about 47 movies
no,
that are out.
No, he's got to be off.
Oh, that's right. You got to leave.
I totally forgot. I got to be off, but not before I also have to plug.
I like how you yelled.
I did yell.
I know.
No!
There's a lot of action here, Dean, with the pre-holiday stuff going on.
All right, let's go lightning round.
For John DeCoste,
yes.
For those of you who remember the old WGN Family Classics,
we've got
one tonight. We're doing one tonight. It's our annual Christmas presentation. Alistair Sims' version of A Christmas Carol called Scrooge. 7 o'clock tonight on WGN TV.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah, watch that.
Is this a whole new one?
Why don't you and John talk later? we got 3 minutes to go through six movies. Once Upon a Deadpool.
I can go through them quickly. This is the PG rated version of the Ryan Reynolds Deadpool movie. Now, it's not just like they went through it and cleaned it up. They made fun of the fact that they were doing a PG-13 movie.
Sounds funny.
Fourth wall completely broken. Partially to signify all of this, Ryan Reynolds, as Deadpool, kidnaps Fred Savage, duct tapes him to a bed in order to be in the movie because nobody signifies wholesome movies more than Fred Savage.
Wow.
And Fred Savage is, I'm a grown man. Get me out of this bed. No, you're here for the PG-13 version.
That's actually funny.
Of this movie. It is very funny. I thought it was hilarious. And it's rated, I gave it a Dean's List A.
Talk about finding an extra revenue stream. Wow.
Stay until the very, very end of the credits. They have a ton of extras during the credits and a beautiful tribute to the late Stan Lee at the very end of the credits. So don't leave the theater too soon. Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse is an animated version of Spider-Man, not with just one Spider-Man, but with six of them here to show that anybody can wear the mask, anybody can do good. It's fun, it's funny, it's exciting. This is one of my favorite Marvel movies, another Dean's List A.
There you go.
Clint Eastwood can do no wrong, practically, in my book. And his new movie, he also stars in and directs, called The Mule, a 90-year-old guy who was running drugs over the border. Until a couple of DEA agents, played by Bradley Cooper and Michael Pena, start closing in on the drug cartel that's running the whole thing. It's cool, it's stylish, it's commanding. Eastwood does such a good job with this. It's called The Mule. Gave it a Dean's List B+.
By the way, Sandra Locke died too. Sandra Locke is a longtime girlfriend and courtroom nemesis.
Yeah.
Later,
she
after
she died early
girlfriend.
In November, but for some reason the news came
just
out
came
yesterday.
Out. Yeah. Just came out. Mortal Engines.
Mortal Engines is written by Peter Jackson of the Lord of the Rings series. Steve, it's a post-apocalyptic story.
Oh, then you know I'll be there.
I know you love a good post-apocalyptic story.
So stupid.
1,000 years after some sort of mega disaster practically wiped out the Earth, good guys versus bad guys.
So 1,000 years after Trump.
Visually interesting. That's about where it ends. I gave it a Dean's List C+. And Julia Roberts has a new movie. That's called Ben is Back. Her son, beautifully played by Lucas Hedges in this movie, addicted to opioids. And it's a mom's attempt to save her son, hold her family together. It's tough to watch. This is a hard movie to watch, but it's beautifully made about the pain for not only the person on drugs, but for the whole family when something like that is going on. Dean's List B+. British period piece, Mary Queen of Scots.
You got 10 seconds, Dean, before you're cut off.
Saoirse Ronan and Margot Robbie is just kind of average Dean's List C+. Seven seconds to spare.
All right, I know you got to go to TV. Thanks, buddy.
Have a good weekend.
You as well. It's Wonderful Life coming up 10 o'clock on the regular Bill and Wendy show, the Wendy and Bill show, the Bill and Wendy and Bill show. It's 10 o'clock today. It's a Wonderful Life. started hearing all right? Because suddenly my headphones are picking up things you shouldn't normally pick up.
The holidays, Christmas. Oh. A powerful nuclear submarine running silent and deep under the massive polar ice cap makes its way north to a spot directly below the only inhabited.
It's kind of old-time radio.
In an otherwise desolate world of ice and snow.
Leading up to this afternoon. This morning, I should say, his presentation of
Latitude
It's a Wonderful Life.
0 degrees north, longitude.
Sounds like they might be under attack.
Maybe we're starting early.
Yeah.
I'm excited. I have a huge part in this. No one ever asked me what.
Yeah, what is your part?
I'm paying Nick the bartender. Right?
Well, huge.
Oh,
huge
Pixies?
Yeah. Yeah, huge. Nice. You mean huge as in important. It's not a huge part.
We'll be able to compare Justin's performance to when Pete and I did our audition. The video is at WGNradio.com. Pete does a great Nick the bartender.
Yeah, he does.
And he didn't even get time to prepare.
My character will be fashioned after Cameron from Ferris Bueller, who plays
the dad on the phone.
Which is just like Nick.
Why don't you?
Pixies, yeah.
All right,
same, it's the same thing.
Yeah, you got to do the side thing with your mouth.
Get out of here.
Wait, Mary, do that again for me.
Oh, chill. Pixies out the door.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good.
That's pretty good.
You want that?
Jailboy. Can you do the traffic like that?
No.
That would be the best.
You should do the traffic.
On the upper Trinity, it's a pain in the neck.
It's not bad. It's not bad.
It's awesome.
I handed out a couple of Christmas presents to staff this morning. I feel badly about this, but that's the only one I want to talk about. Pete loves cats. So I gave Pete, amongst other things, gave him a lot of Christmas stuff, but amongst other things, I gave Pete a giant scratching post. Now, I'm not a cat guy, so I didn't realize that scratching posts apparently all weigh 100 pounds.
Yeah, very heavy.
They start at 105, actually.
Yeah. The downside to this, of course, is Pete takes the train in and the train back out. And he's mostly using the scratching post now for working out in there as he's doing presses. But it's the ultimate scratching post. Pete, did you have a scratching post you're addicted to? You love, so this is a great gift for you. As far as I know, you're not going to re-give this or sell this because it's okay if you do either. All right, fine. And Justin, a little bag of goodies there for you too.
I know. I didn't realize that was for me. Yeah. Thank you, buddy. Yeah, we already did our gifts.
This is where Steve gets us gifts. This isn't our secret Santa.
Did you guys see Pete's Christmas card that he handed out this month?
Oh my gosh,
it is unbelievable.
This is
Christmas
my favorite.
Yeah,
really lovely. Just ran over to this.
Done by his artist wife.
Yeah, yes. Every year she does a custom card for them.
And Love Actually is my favorite movie.
Oh. It is a great movie. Oh. And Steve, I apologize to you again. I sent you a text, which I guess you must have gotten.
Steve, Justin's opening his gift.
No,
Hold on a second. Allow me to finish a point before we jump in.
Okay,
Steve, the text that I sent you about your Christmas card. If you want to swing by my house, it's on the counter. Otherwise, I apologize and just check your email for a lovely little something.
Oh, I see. Okay, so this is your way of telling you didn't get me anything.
No.
It's coming Christmas Eve. 2 weeks.
It's coming Christmas Eve.
Okay. He's going to be gone for 2 weeks.
Yeah, we can check Christmas Eve wherever he is in the world.
Yeah, that'd be nice. Thank you very much.
So. All right, we'll come back with the headlines in just a second on 720 WGN.
Live from the Allstate Skyline Studio.
This is the Steve Cochran Show
on 720 WGN.
Here come the Hawks, the mighty Blackhawks. Take the attack, and we'll back you, Blackhawks. You're flying high.
8:41, Hawks coming off a 6-3 thumping of the defending Stanley Cup champ Pittsburgh Penguins, two-time defending champs. It's more fun when you beat the Penguins and slap Sid the Kid. I have another nickname for him, but it's not arable. Slap him around a little bit. So now Winnipeg and Dustin Byfuglien. Byfuglien and his big behind, and the Winnipeg Jets against the Hawks. I mean, this is as important a game as breaking the streak.
They got to start winning these division games.
Well, they got to win. They got to win more than one, right? You got to get on a roll here.
Did we play them on Tuesday, Winnipeg?
Uh-huh.
That was Tuesday.
But this is the type of thing. I'd be curious to talk to Coach here, who's lining up right now, about how it felt different after that game. Because as professionals, you literally do take it one game at a time. That's not a cliche. But that had to feel awfully good, Coach.
Hi, Steve. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Yeah, it was nice to see the guys get rewarded. I thought they played really hard, and it's never going to be a complete 60-minute effort. That's not possible, but pretty close, and so nice to see them get the points there.
I thought the game, though, had a really different feel. I mean, even when, you know, you're swapping goals and you're up 4-3 late, the intensity and getting after it and, you know, always having that puck presence. I mean, that's as aggressive as I've seen the Hawks in, you know, in quite some time.
Yeah, they're really engaged and we're willing to be physical and get dirty in battles. And then we're able to play in the offensive zone and get some pressure and makes the game a lot easier.
So you get Winnipeg again, chance for a little payback. They've been very good. They're a very good team. They've been very good. But does the win against Pittsburgh change the approach?
Well, I think it helps with our mindset, and hopefully we come in with some confidence. I think they're a really good team, very skilled. They make a lot of plays. They're big. They play big. They're really heavy in puck battles and whatnot. But I think if we can match that, I think we can make some plays. I think we've shown we can score goals against them. It's just a matter of tightening up a little bit defensively, playing a little bit more on their half of the ice as opposed to ours.
You know, this is interim sports director Justin Kaufman who joins you now.
Coach, I'm in today for sports. But, there's a lot of ground you have to make up, especially in the division central. Tonight it starts. Are these become must-win games to be able to get back into this this early in the season?
I think it's probably premature to look too much at the standings. We're just trying to get our game to a spot where we feel we can win every night. I think that's the focus. We've had some pretty good ones lately. Obviously, the start in Winnipeg was poor, but the four games before that and then last game better. And so if we take care of that, then we'll have our opportunity to get points, and then we can start looking at the standings.
It was entertaining too to get up 4-3, then get up 5-3, and then have a second empty netter. And it's a question I've never asked you. I didn't ask Q. I don't know that I've ever brought this up to you guys. How tough is it to hit an empty net when it's sitting right in front of you? You know what, to me it's like the layup in basketball. It's not guaranteed.
I think the simple answer is it depends how close you are. But
yes,
there is a little bit of pressure. What may seem easy when you're just in practice, when the game's on the line and you're gassed and trying to end the game, it adds a little bit of degree of difficulty.
So where do you think Saad is at this point? We well-documented struggles last year. He's been, really getting it done, and then he cools off a little bit and getting it done again. But it seems like we're seeing a more consistent effort.
Yeah, he brings some great attributes. Excellent skater, very, very hard in puck battles. He comes up with a lot of pucks. He's willing to take the puck to the net. I think that's maybe the best thing he does is he's willing to take the puck inside. And, because of that, opportunities seem to follow him around. So nice to see.
A lot of questions about the defense this year. I thought the defense in this stretch, even before Pittsburgh, I thought the defense is playing better. Penalty kill's been better. A lot of positives. But how do you feel about that blue line?
Yeah, we are. Sorry, excuse me. We're making strides. I think it's just a consistency shift to shift, finding a way to raise our minimum level, so that we're not going to carry the play the whole game. You got to find a way to survive those times where you're maybe on the back foot and soaking up some pressure. So. That's, to me, that's the biggest step we got to take. But I do think we're making some improvements.
Well, and Jeremy, you had said early in your takeover that it wasn't just that the defense needed to play better. You needed to have your lead guys also, keep it from even getting to the defense. Do you feel like they're doing that?
They are. I think there's improvement there. We're not where we want to be, but I do think that the last game was a perfect example of our forwards doing a little more of the work defensively, and I thought our back pressure was excellent, and we're able to defend with numbers, and I think that it makes it a lot easier to hold down their attack.
How about how good has Corey Crawford been?
Yeah, he's been excellent for us, and it's no surprise. We know the level that he can be at, and last game is a perfect example. He made some big saves for us and gave us a chance to win.
Cam Ward too. I look. Again, I'm a homer, but Cam Ward has played some just amazing hockey this year as a goalie. He's given up some, but I mean, he has made some of the best highlight reel saves you're going to see, and almost like a pitcher who doesn't get enough run support in baseball. The goals haven't been there on most nights he's been in net, but I hope his chin is up because I think he's played well this year.
Yeah, he's a pro, great competitor. He's, you know, he's one of those guys when you need a save, he finds a way to make one. And obviously, he's won a cup also. So that's great to have him in the room, and he's done a really good job with the opportunity he's been given.
All right, we got a lot of positives going up against Winnipeg. It's not a must win, but it sure would be fun to get another one and get on a mini roll here.
Yeah, it's we want to keep a good feeling. It's been tough for the guys. You know, when things aren't going your way, it kind of wears on you. So now we get the opportunity to hopefully build a little momentum. We got to take it.
Thanks, Coach, as always. And do I need to run out and do a little Christmas shopping for you? I mean, you're busier than I am.
I got to find a way to get that done. For
I'm going to say Amazon Prime.
Yeah.
That'll take care of most
of it. You know what? Just text me, Coach.
I appreciate the tips.
I'm not, you know, most days I'm here until 10:15 easy. But after that, I'm free.
And just so you know, Steve, you do know that the Penguins won in 16 and 17. I don't think the listeners realize that you are not recognizing Washington winning in 2018.
Absolutely not.
That's, you've written that
one off. No, I refuse.
For I told the people that think you misspoke, you did
no,
not.
No, I said when it happened, I would not recognize it. I'm not recognizing it now.
Yeah, so. Illegitimate?
Yeah.
That's exactly right. The Penguins are the two-time defending champs.
He does not like Washington and would not give them credit. So.
They make me angry. They make me very angry, Coach.
Thanks a lot, guys.
Coach Appreciate Jeremy Carlton. Thanks, buddy.
Take care.
There you go. Coach Carlton. Kind of feeling us out.
Yeah, he's not playing.
Kind of feeling us out a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, he may not have cared about that. The other people that thought that.
That thought I'd lost my mind.
He doesn't care about Steve's ill.
Yeah.
No, and I'll tell you why. Because
hatred of the Capitals.
Because these are all facts. Ovechkin. He's a commie. He's a dirty commie, and you know, I refuse to respect what the Russians did to our election or to the cup.
Right.
I like some people on that team.
They hacked the cup.
They hacked the cup last year.
I follow TJ Oshie's wife on Instagram because she's an influencer. And she, you know, she tells you to buy products, whatever. And so I will be telling Pat, I'll say, TJ Oshie had Potbellies for lunch today. He was at the Neiman Marcus Santa Brunch. And he's like, why are you telling me?
Why are you stalking TJ Oshie?
Yeah, but it's because his wife puts it out there.
Let me tell you something. This is how much I dislike the Caps. I like TJ Oshie better when he was with the Blues.
Yeah.
Think how much I dislike the Blues. I got it. You know, I got a lot of will. I just got no skate left in me.
Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
.53 now. Congressman Mike Quigley joins us. Congressman Quigley, you and I are both Hawks nuts.
Yes.
You know, you watch a game the other night and slapping around the Penguins. That was, it just felt like, you know, we broke the dam. Now we're heading in the right direction again.
Eternally optimistic, as are you. I see the turnaround, any bright point in a Hawks game where they score first.
Exactly. So it's the little things.
It's the little things. Not getting down 2-0 before everybody's in their seats.
Let's win tomorrow.
Very helpful.
Or let's win against Winnipeg and scare the rest of the league.
Absolutely.
New Democratic House taken over in a little bit. We were just talking off the air a second ago about this. You have to be careful that you don't appear to be engaged in nothing but payback, and you're actually doing a legitimate effort to do what's right for America, right?
Exactly. I remind people that the Mueller investigation's purpose is to decide who to bring to justice.
Right.
Our purpose is to find out what happened, what did the Russians do, and who helped them. Bring this to the attention of the American public, make sure it doesn't happen again. So these are important functions, but there'll be different committees that relate to different functions on this. The Intelligence Committee, they'll be chaired by Adam Schiff. Judiciary Committee by Mr. Nadler and the Oversight Committee by Mr. Cummings. There is a lot to look at. There's a lot to do. I literally ran into what I consider to be a potential scandal just interviewing the GSA administrator last April. I said, for years they told us they want to tear down the FBI building in D.C.
Exactly.
They want to move it to Maryland or Virginia because it didn't meet the need for counterterrorism threats. So, Democrat, Republican, law enforcement issue, all set and done. They were going to pay for the new building because the old building is in such a prime location, and it's literally falling down.
Mm-hmm.
It was going to be developed, and it was going to be some massive complex. One can imagine a hotel, condo, entertainment complex. And all of a sudden, they decide not to do it. And I asked the administrator, I said, who made this decision? Did anyone at the White House, was anyone at the White House involved in this decision? She answered, no. Inspector General said she misled us, which is DC-esque for she lied to us.
Of course, right.
It should be noted that the building is across the kitty corner from Trump Hotel.
Oh.
And there are emails that indicate this decision was made on behest of the president. And there are photos that show her meeting in January, the day before those emails went out, with President of the United States. So there's a lot to look at. And I suppose...
Does that say anything to the fact that the Mueller investigation, by most of our instant gratification clocks in 2018, feels like forever, when in fact he is probably moving faster than we would have anticipated? Because you go back to Watergate, it's 2.5 years.
And Watergate had a Democratic House and a Democratic Senate and less obstruction, mm-hmm. frankly, believe it or not, mm-hmm. from Richard Nixon. This is complicated, as I once described it. Algebra fits Watergate. This is more like calculus. It involves a foreign adversary. It's extraordinarily difficult to subpoena mm-hmm. a Russian oligarch. But we're seeing this web that just keeps expanding. I once described the Trump Organization's plan to forge direct financial political ties with a foreign adversary as a cesspool. Cesspools are much smaller than what we're dealing with here, but I would tell you, after being part of this investigation for 2 years, this is just as foul as any cesspool, but it's much larger.
Yeah, cesspool might be an upgrade for the Trump folks. As this thing continues, specifically to the clock, does it speed up? Does it slow down? Does it take its time? What's your gut?
I think those of us in Illinois who have watched any number of investigations begin on the periphery, they have their lull periods. I think that what we saw here was Mr. Mueller respecting the election process. He was very quiet in the 6-7 weeks before. I think he wanted to avoid what happened with Director Comey in the weeks before the presidential election.
Right.
But as they get closer to the center, these investigations, they get more help, they get cooperation, and, mm-hmm. and that acts as a catalyst, an accelerant. And as you see, the president's personal attorney, the one who ties his professional, political, economic, and business worlds all together, implicate the president, clearly cooperating. General Flynn, his national security advisor, his former campaign chair, and others. This is accelerating to a point. And I think what's important for the American public is to stay on top of it, be aware of why it matters, and the fact that there are those, and there ought to be those on both sides, who care about this.
Yeah, because people are sick of hearing about it. I get it. I'm sick of talking about it many days. You're sick of reading about it and dealing with it many days. But we have a responsibility as Americans to have a government we can trust and a White House we can trust. And that's a responsibility of all of us. It doesn't just fall to you in a committee or to me in a talk show. Everybody needs to be involved, and everybody needs to commit to the process to get to the bottom of all of this.
I suppose the biggest disappointment for me so far is, where are the House Republican who are similar in any way to Senator McCain?
Mm-hmm.
And even now, Senator Flake, who's unfortunately leaving, who is willing to hold up much of the process to protect the Mueller investigation. Where are their counterparts on the Republican side of the House? This isn't going to happen. We're not going to get to the full truth unless there's a bipartisan effort.
No question about it. And I think history will show a great deal of shame on Mitch McConnell and Paul Ryan as well for their lack of leadership in this entire mess. 9 o'clock. Hang around. We got more to hit here. We could get sure. to the news in just a second. Northwestern Medicine Newsroom is where we'll go next with Steve Grzanich.
All I want. want for Christmas is my two front teeth. My two front teeth. See my two front teeth.
We could not book the Three Stooges for the holidays.
We have my two front teeth.
Well, we've got something a little better. Sandberg, who's in our performance studio?
We have Victor J. Andrew High School Choir. Chris Moan is the choral director, and they're going to be singing Carol of the Bells for us.
And then more with Congressman Quigley. Here we go on 720 WGN and CLTV.
Sweet silver bells all seem to say, throw cares away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the poor. Ding dong, ding dong, that is their song, with triple ring, dong, caroling.
One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, 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 raising the sound, blowing the dance, all the tones, gaily they ring, while people sing songs of good cheer. Christmas is here, ding dong, ding dong, that is their song, with triple ring, dong, caroling. Ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong.
Rock of bells, swing silver bells, all seem to send brokers away. Christmas is here, bringing good cheer to young and old, meek and the poor. Ding dong, ding dong, that is the song, ding dong, ding dong, dong, everything.
One seems to hear words of good cheer from everywhere, filling the air. Oh, the bells, the sound, the dance, all the tones, here they ring, while people sing song of good cheer. Christmas is here, ding dong, ding dong, that is the song, with joyful ring, all caroling. Ding dong, ding dong, dong, without end, ding dong, ding dong, ding dong. On they send, on without end, their joyful tone to every home.
Ding dong, ding dong.
Bum.
Love it. Really beautiful. One of my, and one of my favorites for Christmas. Congressman Quigley, were you in the choir at school?
Make it clear that... I was told early on that I had a face for radio and a voice for print. And I told Mom she was being harsh.
Right. Mom! Mom!
The congressman made a joke when he came in today, though. He said he was going to preach to the choir. So.
That's right.
A great comfort zone here.
Well, that's kind of what I expect you to do whenever you come in. Congressman Quigley's here. We were talking off the air about a number of different things. But one of the things, and I, you know, aside from the friendship, I really appreciate the fact that you have been one of the go-to honest guys through all this process. You haven't let the frustration overcome you, and you've worked the, well, it's the process, really. You've worked the process. And that's where we left this discussion just before the top of the hour. We'd like this to be wrapped up in a 60-minute episode of whatever our favorite TV show is, but life doesn't work that way, does it?
No, it doesn't. And I think what we've learned here is this was a widespread, long-term effort over multiple countries and multiple facets. This isn't just a political effort. This was the Russians' effort to influence American politics and policy. We saw a plea yesterday that showed us just part of that effort, using the NRA of all things.
How about that?
So
that's at the Butina.
Yeah, and I think we're far from being done. I know it's not fun, and I will assure the American public that we're going to be working on other things. My other committee is the Appropriations Committee. There are bipartisan efforts to work on an infrastructure bill. So we want the work of the country to go forward. But we have to get past this year. We have a president who threatens to not sign any funding bill and shut the government down as we close out the year.
And as we close out the year, he is headed off for a long holiday, which frankly should be good for both of us, the country, and for him. He's twisted himself into such a knot that yesterday he actually claimed that Michael Flynn didn't lie and they made up, they being the larger umbrella of Mueller, made up that he lied. If you have any memory at all, the reason given for Flynn being fired 17 days into the new administration was that he lied to Vice President Pence. Point being, like all things of Donald Trump, you can't have it both ways.
General Flynn has made it clear that he lied about talking to the Russian ambassador, Mr. Kislyak, about lifting sanctions.
Mm-hmm.
Those sanctions were in place because of efforts in Ukraine by the Russians to dominate that country. Those sanctions were in place for human rights violations. Those sanctions were in place because President Obama told President Putin to cut it out, and when he didn't, they put sanctions in place. General Flynn also made it clear that he was directed by high-level people in the White House. So it makes sense that the president was, from a legal point of view, freaked out. And as Director Comey told us, he asked Director Comey to go easy on General Flynn. I suspect it's because he's extraordinarily worried about all the things that General Flynn can share with the Mueller investigation.
And he has, in all likelihood.
Congressman Quigley, do Democrats in the House, as you take over the majority, do you run the risk of not focusing on issues that are important to your base by continuing to discuss and to deal with what's happening with the Mueller investigation? What do you run that risk, and what are the priorities of the Democrats coming up here in 2019?
You know, I think the risk is there, but I think it's helpful to note that we won the House back talking about health care, right? I voted for the health care law 10 years ago, and let me tell you, it passed by just a handful of votes, very controversial. But I would say that the evolution that's happened on that issue alone in the last 10 years is dramatic. I think there are very few Americans that don't think that people deserve a right to health care. So first task, shore up the health care law. And then talking about expanding who's covered under existing health care programs. So I think we got back in the majority because of people's reaction to this president. But on the issues, I think you raise a good point. We have to function. The government has to function. We have to do the basic things. I think it starts with showing up the health care law.
You mentioned infrastructure. Are you confident we can get infrastructure done? Because, frankly, I'd like to know who's against it.
I felt that way for the last 10 years.
Right. What's the holdup?
We simply couldn't get... I think we ran out of time the first 2 years when President Obama was in office and we were in control of the House and Senate. We got an awful lot of things done, and then we couldn't get bipartisan support to put the bill on the floor.
But give us the layman's version of this, because my understanding of it is that it's not what's the infrastructure piece of this, the rebuilding roads and bridges and trains, making sure the trucks are okay and all the things we need. That's not the issue. It's the add-ons. It's the other things that people want to throw on the bill. Is that the holdup?
I think it can be and has been the problem in the past. I think if we're transparent and accountable, we can do great things. I just rewatched the great documentary about the Roosevelts. And we have to remind ourselves that this is a permanent investment in our country.
Right.
Right? What we built under the New Deal is still serving this country. And a lot of the work that was done there includes the subway here in Chicago.
Yeah, we're talking about 80 years ago.
80 years ago. And we're losing this fight against our adversaries. If you look at the Indians, the Chinese, and Europe, they're outspending us on infrastructure 4-1, 6-1. So there's bicameral, bipartisan support. The president has said that he supports this. I do believe we can get it done if we follow. The chairman of the Appropriations Committee is worried about a tunnel in New York. I said that I should be just as concerned about his tunnel as he should be rebuilding the Blue Line in Chicago.
Right.
As we all should be rebuilding the locks on the Mississippi so that 42% of all Illinois crops that are grown are exported.
Right.
Those can get there. The country is interdependent. We need each other, and the lifeline is infrastructure.
We started here, so let's end here. You mentioned that the public needs to be a part of this, and I said, yeah, we all have a responsibility in it. What's the best thing the public can do right now? The election's over. People have their jobs or they don't. What do you want voters to do now?
I want them to continue to press their lawmakers to follow this and to act on a bipartisan basis to get to the truth.
Do you read your emails? Does your staff read your emails? Do you guys answer the phone? Because that's the question I get all
sure.
the time.
Yeah, sure.
You know, they go, Steve, you always tell me, call my congressman, write my congressman. Do they read it? Do they see it? Do they hear it?
They do. I think the most effective way to contact a lawmaker, whether it be in city council, county board, Springfield, Washington, D.C., is constructive, thoughtful correspondence.
Yeah, not
probably
you suck. Binding.
Yeah, not beginning with antagonism. We get the anger, but be constructive. The least helpful, I think, is mass online emails. Sign on here. I got to tell you, we see that, but it's not as effective. People still stop me on the street in Lakeview and walking my dog. They want to talk about health care. They want to talk about gun violence. That's the kind of thing that works. And I don't think people should give up on that, on this issue and anything that they care about.
Personal emails from you, from your point of view about what matters to you. And it doesn't have to be a book. A couple of lines, a couple of paragraphs saying, I really want you to support this or that.
And ask others to engage.
And ask others to engage as well. Great to see you.
Happy holidays. Merry Christmas. Happy
you don't
New
seem
Year.
As optimistic about our Hawks as I am.
It's tough when you look toward the end of the year and what record you have to have and maintain. So they put themselves...
See, that's the Appropriations Committee side of you. You're doing the math.
You've got the realistic point of view.
It's tough to dig yourself out of this hole. The core talent is there. They can do it. We'll be there watching and cheering them on. I think my first game was 1968 when they finished last. It was the year before they got Tony Esposito. Mm-hmm. So I've seen a lot of bad hockey. we're in a lot better shape than we were all those
and
years.
And we're all spoiled because of how great it's been in the last 10-plus.
We went, 49 years? From 61 to 2010? Yeah, right. A lot of spoiled Hawk fans out there. Be a little patient here. We know what we're doing.
I know you guys wanted to talk about politics, but now Congressman Quigley and I are going to go do a podcast on the lack of quality pizza in D.C.
Oh, I can't imagine.
We didn't have time to get to that on the air. That
absolutely. I'm ready for my D'Agostinos.
Yeah, there you go. Nice to see you, Congressman.
Thank you.
Thanks for being here. We're going to come back, and they're going to sing again? All right, stand by. More great holiday sounds in just a second. The Victor J. Andrew High School Choir is here. High School Choir Choral. I don't want to get this wrong. I do know this. The Winter's Night is next on CLTV and here on 720 WGN. Bohemian Rhapsody coming up. Headlines in just a second. We'll get to that right after this on 720 WGN. And now Christmas sounds from Danny and the Partridges.
You and all your family, your neighbors and your friends, may all your days be happy with the joy that never ends.
may peace and love surround.
Let me have a harpsichord. The Partridge Family music always sounded like there's like a harpsichord or something in the background.
I think you really hit the post on that perfectly.
Once a DJ, always a DJ. More importantly, musically, the Victor J. Andrew High School Choir Chorus, Choral Fantastica, is here. And they're going to do one more for us. It's Jolly Old St. Nicholas on CLTV and 720 WGN.
Jolly old St. Nicholas, lean your ear this way. Don't you tell a single soul what I'm going to say. Christmas Eve is coming soon, now you dear old man. Whisper what you'll bring to me, tell me if you can. When the clock is striking 12, when I'm fast asleep, down the chimney, broad and black, with your pack of creed, all the stockings you will find hanging in a row. Mine will be the shortest one, you'll be sure to know. Johnny wants a pair of skates, Susie wants a sled, Nellie wants a picture book, yellow, blue, and red. Now I think I'll leave to you what to give the rest. Choose from me, dear Santa Claus, you will know the best.
And again, they just nail it. Just amazing.
Yeah, that is.
One of the kids has a really long beard and seems to be the conductor. Thank you guys very much. And,
I believe that's Chris Moan.
It is Chris Moan, yeah.
Choir director.
Chris does a wonderful job. You guys suck up to Chris. Give him a round of applause. Merry Christmas. Happy holidays, you guys. You're wonderful. Happy thank holidays. You for coming down.
Merry Christmas.
On Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, when we all the shows at WGN do their portions yeah. that run on the station, a portion of our portions will be all the choirs that we've
yeah.
created. So.
Now, that's for two reasons. One, because they're great, and two, because it's less work for me.
I just love it. I love it. I think that they were just, what a session. Cause it's
tremendous.
There's so many talented children out there that's...
Yeah. Blows my mind. It really does.
And Chris Moan, the director at Victor J. Andrew, is tremendous as well. And I think he instills just enough fright in the kids that they perform at an extra high level. Today, 10 to noon, it's A Wonderful Life, the radio play from the beloved classic holiday movie rewritten for this by Bill Leff, who will be sued very, very soon.
Oh, yeah.
It's the best and, in some cases, the worst of live radio. Hosts, news, traffic, sports, everybody's going to be there. And as interim sports director, maybe you do the whole thing as a sportscast.
I had a lot of fun this morning.
He's been riding Miles all morning. Are you ready? Have you read your script?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Miles is here today, and it's actually, there is a school day, so I pulled him out to do this. Thanks. Bill put a ton of pressure on me about it.
But Miles isn't in the room right now, is he?
He might be.
Miles, where are you? Oh, there you are. I was going to talk about you behind your back, buddy. It's called being a grown-up. find out the event.
He's ready, though. He's early in the play. He's right at the top.
He's got to be ready.
He's got to be ready. He's got to be loose.
I'm on page 4 and 5.
That's it. That is really.
I'm on page 4 and 5.
Yeah,
so he's ready.
And then he's got his own chorus thing going on later on.
He's got a whole diva day.
He's a showbiz kid.
He's dressed up and ready to go.
He looks great.
Yeah, I want to know if he tied his own tie.
He did not tie his own tie. I asked the same question, Joe, but Steve Cochran said, "Hey, Miles, can I borrow your tie?" And Miles said, "What do you want it for?"
Yeah, he said, "For what?"
Great kid.
But you know why? Because he's going, like, you'd wear a tie.
He said, I know better than to just agree to something like that.
What do you think? I was born yesterday. I'm 11.
What's in it for me?
Find all you need to know about everything you need to know at WGNradio.com. Meantime, It's a Wonderful Life is sponsored by American Sail and by Shepherd's College. Back with more on CLTV and 720 WGN. This is Miles. Killing it.
Miles actually said to me he's got his glee performance today downtown.
Oh, is that? Can anybody identify this if you didn't hear the answer?
Yes, I know.
Who?
It's Jim Neighbors.
Gomer Pyle, yeah. USMC.
Yeah, and the one before was David Cassidy, right?
Singing his took us off.
Is it the Larry Lawrence Welk singers behind him?
You could be. I mean, it might, it might as well be.
Minstrels.
They used to get a lot of work.
Up with people.
Up with people.
All right, let me give you the schedule for next week, because we're going to be on a skeleton staff of sorts. So next week, is Annette still gone?
No, Enid is back.
Okay, so Dave will be back.
Yes.
Sorry, Justin, I thought it worked out well.
I tried.
Yeah, and you will be here till Wednesday?
Justin and I work until Wednesday.
Okay, and then you're off together somewhere? What's that about?
Aaron and I are celebrating the holidays together. I'm going to order all the buffalo mac and cheese, buffalo chicken mac and cheese
I can. And
I'm
just going to mock
him. She's going to mock me.
Yep.
Christmas Pete is out starting today because Christmas started really in October for him.
He put up his tree, according to his Christmas card, I think November 7th.
Super Joe is done today as well.
What up? He is. That's why he's in a Christmas suit today.
Steve is done today as well. Grzanich.
Steve Grzanich is done, and he's already gone.
He's already gone.
Yep. He started off the opening bell this morning at 5 a.m. with the most jubilant sounding, "I am Steve Grzanich." He was like,
"Oh, because it was his last day before the break."
Yeah.
And he had lights going on.
Yeah, he was very excited.
Who am I missing?
Me,
Mary.
Well, Mary, you're going to be here next week.
I'm here all week. What the heck? Wait, all you guys.
Now I have a couple more days to get rid of, like 3 weeks, but I can only work 2 days in prior to the run up to New Year's Eve. So Tuesday and Wednesday I won't be here. So that's right. I'm doing Monday, Thursday, Friday. Rahm Emanuel, the mayor, will be here on Monday.
Okay,
amongst the guests next week.
No, he's not hosting. He'll just be here. And if anyone wants a consultation on how to make your vacation time off most complicated,
absolutely,
Steve Cochran can consult you.
Yep.
He only does Tuesdays and Wednesdays or Wednesdays and Thursdays off. Never a
Here's what you
weekend.
Do. Here's what you do. If you guys want a short tip, wait till the last minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Wait till you're sure that schedules have been set in stone. And then look at yours and be completely surprised that you have to make up for time that you should have known about to begin with.
Oh, look at Steve Grzanich has entered the studio. He is wearing flashing lights.
Merry Christmas, Steve.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, everybody.
So Merry Christmas, so Christmas, Pete.
The rumors of your...
Merry Christmas, Super Joe.
Merry Christmas. I have been over.
Yeah, I had to get some backup batteries for my light. Oh, they were going out.
Well, you know, you're very festive.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, you're working a room.
And Steve, did you say you're doing something New Year's Eve?
Yes, as a matter of fact. Let's go live to John DeCoste, who's setting up for that right now.
Yeah, I'm in the helicopter. Can you hear me?
Chop, 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 chop.
Why
chop,
would you
chop,
be in a helicopter? Chop.
I don't know. It just sounded like that's the place I should be.
No, tell everybody about New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve. This New Year's Eve, we will be at the...
Times Square with Jenny McCarthy?
Yes.
Now, you know, it's interesting you say that, because we won't be at Times Square. We'll be at the Tivoli in Downers Grove.
Right.
But we are providing diapers for the audience,
that's
much
true.
Like the diapers they wear in Times Square while they're out there all day.
Yeah, we're going to give them away at the door.
Did you know that, by the way? Did you know that they wear diapers
in Times
Square?
I did not know that. No.
I just feel like if you have to stand anywhere for so long, you need a diaper. That's probably not the place
bad.
You need to stand.
Yeah, that's a bad thing.
Oh, back to you.
But yes, we will be at the Tivoli in Downers Grove. It's a 7 o'clock show. Ends at a little after 9 for people who can't stay up till midnight. You can get your tickets at eventbrite.com. It's Steve and myself and, of course, our very own Dean Richards.
Dean Richards is going to be happy baby New Year, you've said.
Mm-hmm.
He's also going to wear a Nine Inch Nails concert,
yep.
He said, after the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame induction.
It's going to be a hot look.
He said that he's going to do live reviewing of the show. Well, he's going to be handing out D's.
In real time.
D's, D's and A's and C's, depending on each performer.
I'm bit by bit.
Yeah.
And he's going to dress like the New Year's baby.
Was that lightbright.com or lightbright.com?
No, that was Eventbrite. Eventbrite, B-R-I-T-E.
Look, and I have matching lights.
Oh, look at you two.
Mary is wearing a sweater. When she comes down the hall, you can hear her because it's jingly. There.
Well, she is jingling.
It's very light. This is a casual corner sweater from circa 1980.
Nice. Is this another one of a piece of clothing that you've had for years ago?
I got this at a boutique.
Did you hear that, Steve? That on when Spike was on, the red jacket she was wearing that day was the same jacket on the that she was wearing on the last.
Do we have accidentally, to bring that up, Justin?
Accidental or intentional?
No, I did not know. Wow.
It's a holiday jacket.
It's a holiday jacket. It's not in heavy rotation.
Bring it out.
Yeah. I just wanted to say this. Added to the show, I just got confirmation right now that our very own Joe Romano with Bennett will be checking in people.
Oh,
tickets.
Excellent!
How about that?
Super Joe will be live.
Co-check.
Hey, you forgot to mention Ross Cochran.
Ross Cochran,
Rocky LaPorte. support Tim Banker. Just please.
Eventbrite.com. Get your tickets.
I know we're going to be handing out awards later for the best dressed holiday dress today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to have to nominate Joe.
Yeah.
Because he's awesome.
Super Joe
awesome
is in, I don't even know how you describe it. It's a Christmas suit.
It's totally a suit.
By the way, not a literal suit.
Yeah.
Joe, did you use your Kohl's cash for that?
I did not use my Kohl's cash.
It has a matching tie.
Now he was asking.
Oh, you did? Okay.
Yeah, I did tie myself.
Nice.
Chicks dig guys wearing Christmas suits.
Yep. Oh, I learned how to tie my tie a couple years ago, so that's good.
He beats Pete McMurray this year, I
is
think.
Is this something you pull out every year?
No. This is an inaugural wearing experience.
Yeah. Oh. Hope it doesn't ride up any.
So we're going to be blessed with this for years ahead, to come.
Yep.
We're not doing news, are we? What are we doing in 5 minutes? Are we starting the actual event?
I think there's news. We're keeping a regular clock. Mary will be doing traffic. Mm-hmm. I saw that in an email.
All right, so we'll do the regular news at the top of the hour, then we'll get into the play.
There's a lot of people out there, WG and celebrities. I'm not leaving the studio. I'm going to just stay here.
There are people right now who never get a chance to be on the air who are all over those microphones in the performance studio.
There's a trumpet right behind me there. Do you see that?
I see Schwani.
Coming up, Stories That Matter with... Any idea?
It is Ryan Burrow.
Ryan Burrow from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom next on WGN Radio. Amongst the breaking news, Chris Christie is now apparently the front runner to be Trump's new chief of staff. I'm not buying it.
He usually shows up every time there's a vacancy. They're like, he's the front runner, then they pick somebody else.
Right. So I don't see that happening.
I think he'd be a good chief of staff, though, to be honest with you.
Well, Trump's not going to listen to anybody.
Yeah, true.
So that's the downside. The president is off to Mar-a-Lago for, I think it was 16 days or something.
Stop talking about that guy. We're going into our our holiday day here.
We've already discussed the holiday.
It's Friday. Let's talk about pizza.
Let's talk about
we always have pizza on Friday.
Bill and Wendy.
So do I. Always.
Bill and Wendy are here. And Bill, could I get a little bit of a preview, if you don't mind? Coming up, It's a Wonderful Life in just a couple of minutes. So we got a newscast, and then we jump right in.
And the deep end.
Everyone appear to be ready?
What's your morning been like?
Slightly hectic.
Wendy, I don't know if you you noticed, but there's a lot of people who never get near a microphone who are like sharks near blood
in
the performance studio
right
now.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah.
Should be fun. Hilarity will ensue.
This show will be ready by Wednesday, I'm positive.
So do I have a dedicated microphone?
Dedicated in what way, Steve?
The Cochran phone?
Dedicated to me.
He gets his own mic.
The Cochran phone 3000, yes. We had a specially crafted microphone made for you.
It's bald?
Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's fantastic.
It's going to be great. It's going to be so much fun.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
I'm not sure they're going to broadcast it, though.
Oh,
this originally is the rehearsal? We were planning on broadcasting it, yeah.
I see.
They're rethinking that.
We're on a special separate channel that may or may not make it on the air.
Even the internet said, I don't know. We'll call you back.
Well, we're all looking forward to Miles. Miles, and he's doing an early part because he's got to go to his. Part. He's got another gig.
School for this.
Well, he's got another gig.
He's got another gig.
He's got to work out. So I'll be back on Monday with some of the people that are on the show. And in the meantime, again, Steve, Pete, Super Joe.
That's it.
Merry Christmas.